Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis, and this is the Dr. Artis Show. And this entire presentation, the one and only presentation I've ever done, it is called The 5 Ways in Which Alcohol Destroys Your Health. So I want you all to pay attention to this show. I'm going to take you through what is published by medical science and in the mainstream media are the main ways in which alcohol totally destroys us physically. Now, the reason why I want to do this, and it's so important, and I want all of you at home to pay attention. We are being conditioned and literally programmed through almost every media outlet that when we watch television, when we watch sitcoms, when we watch movies, and it doesn't matter. Think about your favorite TV show ever. Almost every single episode, you will hear a reference to an alcohol. You will see people drinking alcohol. You will see a scene in the bar, and we are literally being programmed and conditioned to love alcohol, to see that alcohol is the solution to a hard day's work, or whenever someone is stressed. It's always alcohol is what you go to, or to have a great time, there's going to be alcohol shown in every single thing. Now, when I go through these top 5 ways in which alcohol destroys your health, I want you to also understand that while you're watching those same shows, I want you to start looking at all the ways in which you see physically what they want you to see, which is what Hollywood, the mainstream media, and whoever owns them are wanting you to see is what is normal. So what they're trying to normalize in every single show ever is alcohol use and alcohol drinking almost all throughout every show. And then also looked at almost in every single sitcom also, you will see a hospital scene, a waiting room scene. You will see someone in a hospital bed. You will hear the machines in a hospital. You will see people in white coats, masks, stethoscopes as doctors, nurses, nursing staff of those hospitals. You will hear a defined medical diagnosis in the show, at least one, cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. You will see prescription pills, and you will see the actors taking those pills, or you will see actors telling other actors in the show, describing their symptoms and why it's so important for them to go to their medical doctor and why it's so important for them to take their drugs all the time. And if they don't say the drug by name, they will show you the label of the prescription drug, or you will just casually see prescription pills on the kitchen counter, on the island, on the bedside table. Always, 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 you will see alcohol being shown to you in your face all day long that drinking alcohol is normal. You'll also see healthcare is showcased in every single television show produced by Hollywood all over the place. Mainstream media wants to make sure you see that everybody turns to mainstream medicine for their health and prescription medications. They are normalizing every condition you can think on earth. I mean, can you think of how many television shows normalize the gifts mentally of children and adults with Asperger spectrum and autism spectrum? Okay, they're normalizing this stuff. They want you to see this as normal, and everybody's dealing with this. It's always been there. All right, so I want you to start paying attention. This is the programming. So when you watch this presentation I'm about to give you, we're going to highlight the known 5 top ways in which alcohol destroys your health. And then you're going to start to realize that, oh my goodness, they're always projecting in front of your faces. Alcohol, 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 alcohol. Even Jesus turned water into wine. Alcohol, 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 always alcohol. What does alcohol do? It destroys your health in all the ways I'm about to show you, the main 5 ways. And all 5 of those ways, the same institutions that are making sure you see alcohol as normal and societally acceptable and family acceptable, and the same shows are going to show you all the problems created by alcohol that you are going to go to the hospital for and end up in a medical doctor office for and being prescribed drugs for. And this is all normalcy. You're going to see it's all programming and conditioning. So just be leery. That's what you're doing. And now, as I show you this, just start watching all your favorite shows. I don't care what it is. My wife and I just finished watching a show called Parenthood. Oh my God. Every damn episode actually showed alcohol use and drugs and medical conditions and hospital scenes throughout every episode for like a million seasons. It felt like. And every time it came on the screen, I go, oh my goodness, more medical programming. Every episode, it almost gets disgusting once you see it, once you recognize it. You know, you hear the term, once you know, you can't unknow. Once you've seen, you can't unsee. Once you see it, it becomes very obvious that they want to normalize all of this for you. They also want to normalize divorce, by the way. Watch it. It's pretty amazing. All right, Let's dive into the five ways in which alcohol destroys your health. Brought to you by me. All right, let's dive into the research studies here. All right, scan the QR code so you can get alerts. If you enjoy this show I'm about to do at the very end, I'm going to show you the same slide. Take out your phone, turn on the camera, zoom in on this QR code, and put in your email. We'll notify you when the next presentation I'm doing. I do one a week, unless there's special occasions I want to do it. All right, now, which with special, I mean like current mainstream media stuff that I absolutely think you need to be made aware of. All right, now this is the World Health Organization's website and their article on alcohol. Alcohol and alcoholic beverage contain ethanol, which is psychoactive and toxic substance with dependence-producing properties. Alcohol has been widely used in many cultures for centuries, but it is associated with significant health risk and harms. And then you should ask yourself, why are they talking about healthcare in every single show you've ever seen, in every movie you've ever seen, and at the same time showing you alcohol throughout the whole thing? Alcohol feeds this industry. Worldwide, 2.6 million deaths were attributable to alcohol consumption in 2019, of which of those 2.6 million, 2 million were among men and 0.6 million among women. The highest levels of alcohol-related deaths per 100,000 persons around the world are observed in the WHO European, and African regions, with 52.9% of deaths and 52.2 deaths per 100 people, respectively, for males and females. Health risk of alcohol use per the World Health Organization. And remember, for every slide and every article I show you or research study, you're going to see the link down below on the screen. It's right below there where you can copy, paste, and go put it there. And remember, you go to the resources tab of the Dr. Artist Show and download this entire PowerPoint for free. Health risk of alcohol use. Alcohol consumption is found to play a causal role, causal meaning it causes, a causal role in more than 200 diseases, injuries, and other health conditions. Drinking alcohol is associated with risk of developing non-communicable diseases. That means non-infectious diseases. You can't spread this to somebody else. So those diseases caused by alcohol, you don't share them with anybody else, such as liver diseases. Those aren't contagious. Heart diseases, definitely not contagious. And different types of cancers, which are definitely not contagious or genetic, as well as mental health and behavioral conditions such as depression, anxiety, and alcohol use disorders. Interesting. An estimated 474,000 deaths from heart disease were caused by alcohol consumption in 2019. Half a million. Alcohol is an established carcinogen. By definition, carcinogen means it causes cancer. Alcohol is an established, known cancer-causing product. So all of you out there that have been programmed to be so afraid of the debilitating cancer that they tell you is only caused by genetics you inherited, I wonder if they ever read the WHO's articles on alcohol. Alcohol, or any medical research ever, alcohol is an established carcinogen. So all of you out there societally drinking alcohol, I only do it socially. Or I drink alcohol every week or every day. Did you know that it's established that alcohol causes cancer directly? I wonder how many oncologists go like this. I'm sorry, Mary, but you have breast cancer. Do you drink alcohol? No, what they're going to do is tell you, you might have the BRCA1, BRCA2 gene you inherited from your mom or grandma or dad. We should take your breast off right now at 22 years old to protect you from ever getting it. Oh my God, seriously? Some medical doctors should do their own research. Read their own research, actually. It increases the risk of several cancers. Everybody pay attention here. Alcohol consumption increases the risk of the several cancers. It is established alcohol causes these cancers. Breast cancer, liver cancer, head and neck cancers, esophageal and colon cancers, colorectal cancer included. In 2019, 4% of cancers diagnosed globally and 401,000 cancer deaths were attributed to alcohol consumption. A causal, means it causes it, relationship has been established between alcohol use and the incidence or outcomes of infectious diseases such as tuberculosis and HIV. Ask your doctor if alcohol is right for you. Key facts from the World Health Organization about alcohol. Now, just so y'all know, this is going to be a much shorter presentation than most of mine because I'm just going to give you the highlights of what alcohol does to you. And for a lot of you, what most people don't know is if they just stopped doing certain things, the likelihood of developing a chronic illness or cancer they're so afraid of and being conditioned to be afraid of would be avoided. So here's just one simple one. Alcohol. Avoid it, and your outcomes of health are so much greater. The risks of developing diseases are so much lower. Key facts from the World Health Organization. Alcohol or alcoholic beverages contain ethanol, a psychoactive and toxic substance that can cause dependence or addiction. Worldwide, 2.6 million deaths were caused by alcohol consumption in 2019. The alcohol attributable mortality or deaths was heaviest among men, accounting for 2 million deaths compared to 600,000 deaths among women in 2019. An estimated 400 million people, or 7% of the whole world's population, age 15 and older, lived with alcohol use disorders. That blew me away. Of this, 209 million people, 3.7% of the adult world population, lived with alcohol dependence, addicted to alcohol. Alcohol consumption, even at low levels, the World Health Organization says, can bring health risks, but most alcohol-related harms come from heavy, episodic, or heavy, continuous alcohol consumption, which would make sense. The more you're drinking of something that's bad for you, the worse your outcomes and more likely you will be to have them. Here's Harvard's health publishing. You ever heard of Harvard? This is your brain on alcohol. At the beginning of the study in 1985, all of the participants were healthy and none were dependent on alcohol. Over the next 30 years, this is a 30-year study, the participants answered detailed questions about their alcohol intake and took tests that measured memory, reasoning, and verbal skills. They underwent brain imaging with MRI at the end of the study. When the team analyzed the questionnaires, the cognitive test scores, and the MRI scans, they found that the amount of shrinkage in the hippocampus, the brain area associated with memory and reasoning, was related to the amount people drank. That part of the brain that controls memory and reasoning was shrinking according to the amount of alcohol they drank over 30 years. Those who had the equivalent of four or more drinks a day had almost six times the risk of hippocampal shrinkage as did non-drinkers, while moderate drinkers had three times the risk. Studies on what alcohol does to destroy your body now, that was your brain. Cancer risk based on alcohol consumption levels. This is a comprehensive review and a meta-analysis of all studies done on this topic. Cancer is the second leading cause of death globally, accounting for almost 10 million deaths in 2020. Alcohol consumption causes a range of diseases, including cancer. In 1988, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, classified alcohol as a group 1 human carcinogen. It causes cancer. It's amazing to me that the American Cancer Society still has on their website right now, there is no known cause of cancer. Really? I could show you 5,000 articles that are published by scientists around the world that they know of verified causing agents that lead to cancer. But the American Cancer Society has never seen it. The IARC also lists alcohol as a cause of breast cancer, colorectal cancer, laryngeal cancer, liver cancer, esophageal cancer, oral cancer, and pharyngeal cancers. According to the global burden of cancer in 2020, approximately 741,000 cancer cases were attributable to alcohol consumption. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, go back. The association between alcohol consumption and the risk of cancer death follows a J-shaped pattern. The more cancer you drink, the faster your risk for cancer goes up. Where heavy drinkers exhibit a higher cancer death rate than moderate drinkers. Cohort studies have shown that even a small amount of alcohol consumption is associated with a heightened risk of cancer and death. Now, I want you to just pay attention here. Look at the table. On the left-hand side, you will see the cancer type. Esophageal cancer, stomach cancer, liver cancer, all the way down to thyroid cancer. And then you will see the amount of research studies done by medical scientists published in medical journals all over the world. Those at the top who are considered light consumers of alcohol, then light to moderate drinkers of alcohol, then moderate to heavy drinkers of alcohol, and heavy alcohol consumers. However they laid this out, look at all the studies that have been done on each of those cancers for males and females. And this is not a few. This is like 50 different research studies that have been conducted on the various amounts of those who drink alcohol. In fact, it's probably almost 100 different studies. If you do all the math, I didn't add them all up. But look at all the numbers. for esophageal cancer, those with light use of alcohol, they've done 8 studies on males, 2 different studies on females. For esophageal cancers in males, for light to moderate alcohol users, there's 8 different studies that have been conducted on those individuals, with 2 more on females. And then for moderate to heavy users of alcohol, there's been 7 male studies done on esophageal cancer. They don't have any on the moderate to heavy for females. And then you'll see an additional 11 more studies were done on heavy drinkers of alcohol with males only. I mean, there's a ton of these studies. This is not a small amount. This is well-documented and well-known. There is a dose-response relationship between alcohol consumption level and cancer risk. The more alcohol you consume, the higher your risk for cancer. Followed participants for 10 and a half years and included repeated measurements of alcohol consumption. They compared them to non-drinkers, mild drinkers. Mild drinkers, those that had less than 15 grams a day of alcohol, exhibited a 4% increased risk, while medium risk drinkers, those who had 15 to 30 grams a day, had high risk, and high risk drinkers, those of over 30 grams a day, experienced 14 and 28% increases in risk for cancer, respectively. You really should watch how much alcohol you're drinking. And if you've been paying attention to the Healing for the Ages group, you hear us constantly talking about the impact on the liver, the importance of liver health. Well, there's no organ in the body outside of the heart that is affected by alcohol more than the liver. The heart's problem with the liver or heart's problem with alcohol comes from the strain put on the liver to process alcohol. In this study, light alcohol consumption was associated with a significantly higher risk of colorectal cancer and prostate cancer. Do you see that? Light alcohol consumption was associated with a significant higher risk of colon cancer and prostate cancer, with a significantly higher risk of colorectal cancer, especially in males. So an even higher amount of colon cancer. Women, are you afraid that your husband would ever be diagnosed with colon cancer? And does he drink alcohol, even a light amount? You might want to share this information with him if you love him. A previous study showed a significant dose response relationship between low levels of alcohol consumption, which was less than 25 grams a day, and the prostate cancer risk. In addition, they reported Choi and the rest of the researchers reported that light alcohol consumption slightly increased the incidence of colorectal cancer in males. Then they wrote here that a possible mechanism in explaining this is that folic acid and acetaldehyde, which are present in alcohol beverages, have been reported to promote colorectal carcinogenesis. Now, there ain't no way on earth you're going to get me to buy that folic acid is a part of this. Folic acid is vitamin B9. That inherently by itself does not cause cancer. That is not what causes alcohol to cause cancer. Our study revealed a strong association between esophageal cancer and alcohol consumption across all levels, whether light drinkers or heavy drinkers. Meta-analysis, looking at a whole bunch of research studies at once, demonstrates a 30% increased risk of esophageal cancer, particularly squamous cell carcinoma, among individuals with light alcohol consumption. Light alcohol consumption. Another review of multiple studies reported a significant increase in esophageal cancer risk at a high alcohol consumption also, which was more than 100 grams per day. Our study found a strong association between breast cancer and alcohol consumption across all levels. Even low levels of alcohol consumption were linked to an increased incidence of breast cancer. In a meta-analysis, it was observed that each additional 10 grams of alcohol consumed every day increased the risk of breast cancer in females by 7%. Similarly, our study revealed that higher levels of alcohol consumption were associated with a higher risk of breast cancer in females. Notably, even very light alcohol consumption, defined as less than 0.5 drinks a day, half of a cocktail per day, increased the risk of breast cancer. This heightened risk can be attributed to alcohol's impact on the mammary gland, your breast tissue, including elevating estrogen levels and insulin-like growth factor concentrations, altering structural development and stimulating cancer cell proliferation. Proliferation means fast, quick growing. More of. Conclusion. Our findings support the proposal that higher levels of alcohol consumption are associated with an increased risk of cancer. Furthermore, even low levels of alcohol consumption have been found to elevate the risk of esophageal cancer, colon cancer, and breast cancer in females, as well as prostate and colorectal cancer in males. These findings suggest that there's no safe level. Let me repeat that. These findings from these medical experts and scientists, these findings suggest there is no safe level of alcohol consumption in terms of cancer risk. You're welcome. What about the influence of alcohol consumption on intestinal nutrient absorption? So now I'm going to highlight for you what alcohol does when you take supplements and drink alcohol or eat vegetables that have nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, and what the impact of alcohol is on the nutrients in those foods or your supplements. Some of you might imagine, well, what if I just drink light amounts of alcohol, lots of alcohol, and I just take my mineral and vitamin supplements from the Dr. Artie Show? Okay, I'm about to show you. Alcohol consumption, even at low to moderate dosages, could affect human physiology in a multitude of organ systems, including the small intestine. The main purpose of the small intestine is to absorb the digested nutrients essential for health, otherwise known as homeostasis. Here they show you the small intestine and how alcohol impacts the ability of your body to absorb nutrients. And you will see in red, I got to bend over here. It reads intestinal inflammation, altered nutrient absorption. And you'll notice the red arrow, it says alcohol blocks your small intestine from being able to absorb proteins, fats, amino acids, sugar, glutamine, thiamine, amino acids, folate, which is vitamin B9, riboflavin, which is vitamin B2, calcium, zinc, iron, etc. Then you'll see that alcohol also increases the presence of acetaldehyde, which increases oxidative stress and disease in the body. Then you'll see there's alteration in intestinal structure. There's changes in your microbiota, which is your bacteria and fungus that live in your gut. It increases, decreases GI motility, which is you being able to poop, move in your bowels. Intestinal permeability, which means the ability of nutrients to be absorbed into your bloodstream. These are all the ways that alcohol alone restricts your ability to absorb nutrients. Now, watch this. In the same research study, check this out. This is a summary at the top of the main studies on the effect of alcohol consumption on intestinal nutritional absorption. Now, look to the left. They're going to show you the nutrient. We're only going to focus on the first two columns on the left. If you at home want to go see all the research studies that have been done on this to come to the conclusion you're seeing in the first column and second column, those research studies are on the far right under references, the far column on the right. So if you want to go do your own research, please have at it. Copy and paste the white URL address at the bottom of the screen and then go look for those references in the research study at the end of the research study. All right, so vitamin B1 called thiamine. What's alcohol's effect? It reduces your ability to absorb it. You see the down arrow next to vitamin B1? Now let's look at vitamin B2, riboflavin. Oh, its effect, alcohol's effect on the absorption of vitamin B2 is it goes down. Oh, wait, what about vitamin B7? Oh, that alcohol affects that also. You can't absorb it. It reduces the intestine's ability to absorb it into your blood so it can heal and bless your body. Vitamin B9, folate. Oh, it reduces your ability to absorb folate. This might be why they tell pregnant women not to drink alcohol. What is the number one vitamin in all your prenatals they tell all pregnant women to take? Vitamin B9, called folic acid or folate. Alcohol reduces your ability to absorb vitamin B9, which impacts the brain of your developing fetus. Well, guess what it does to you? As an adult, it robs you of vitamin B9 too, and you need a healthy brain too. Maybe there's a part of why there's so many neurological diseases in this country. Look at this. Vitamins A, D, E, B6, B12, and vitamin K all reduced with alcohol. The only one that you actually see go up is with heavy drinkers. They see vitamin C actually goes up, which I find interesting. Let's keep going. Now they're going to show you what's the impact of alcohol on glucose absorption from the sugar foods and carbohydrates you eat in proteins. Alcohol reduces the intake of blood sugar. Fructose, they don't even know what it does. Glutamine, that's reduced, which is an essential amino acid. Leucine, another essential amino acid to make proteins, that's reduced. Glycine, another amino acid, that's reduced. Look at zinc, it's reduced. Well, you needed to be able to absorb zinc to defend COVID and many other viruses and keep your immune system strong and balance your hormones. Alcohol reduces your ability to absorb zinc. Cadmium, that's reduced. Iron, that's increased. And all of us have too much iron in our body. Magnesium, it's reduced when you drink alcohol. You can't absorb it. Selenium actually goes up with heavy drinking, which I find interesting. Mounting studies reported alcohol effect on the absorption of an array of macro, large, and micro, small nutrients, including blood sugar, glutamine, vitamin B2, riboflavin, vitamin C, ascorbic acid, vitamin B1, thiamine, vitamin B9, folate, iron, zinc, and selenium. Recent studies have shown that the absorptions of nutrients such as glucose, glutamine, and bile acids are stimulated during obesity. Therefore, studies focused on the effect of alcohol consumption in ameliorating or aggravating altered nutrient absorption in various disease states such as obesity and inflammatory bowel disease. And they have seen, are also likely to define nice therapeutic strategies if you study these enough. All right, so alcohol not only is increasing all amounts, increasing your risk for cancer development. That's number one way it destroys your health. So all of you out there who are afraid of getting cancer, why don't you just avoid alcohol? If you are concerned about getting cancer and you're drinking alcohol every day, you don't care about getting cancer. You welcome cancer. You're like, bring on cancer. I can't wait. Now, the second one is, if you want to be malnourished, drink alcohol. If you want to take supplements and drink alcohol, it'll block your ability to absorb almost all of them. Alcohol's impact on the heart system, now called the cardiovascular system. Let's show you what it does to your heart. Remember, cancer, obesity, which we just showed you with nutrient inability to absorb, causes obesity and a whole bunch of detrimental effects. Cancer, obviously, now heart disease. Obesity, heart disease, and cancer are the top three causes of killers health-wise in America and around the world. So here, alcohol is one of the most important risk factors for disease and mortality globally. The relationship between alcohol consumption and cardiovascular disease is complex, and hundreds, if not thousands, of individual research reports have been published about alcohol's direct impact on heart disease. Now, this review, let's read the last sentence at the bottom. This review is divided into the major cardiovascular disease subcategories, which include ischemic heart disease, ischemic stroke, hemorrhagic stroke, hypertension, high blood pressure, and fibrillation, atrial fibrillation, cardiomyopathy, heart disease, and heart failure. All right, so there's the categories on the left I just defined for you. This is the way that alcohol affects the heart. And you will see ischemic heart disease, there's a J shape. That means the more alcohol you consume, the higher the amount of ischemic heart disease. High blood pressure, any consumption of alcohol is detrimental in men. Detrimental beyond 24 grams in women, a reduction in drinking, less than 24 grams per day, lowers blood pressure. Well, that's good. Now for stroke, ischemic stroke, J-shaped, or the more alcohol you consume, the higher amounts of stroke you're going to have and risk for that. And then atrial fibrillation, it's detrimental beyond 60 grams per week of alcohol. If you're worried about having atrial fibrillation, do not drink more than 60 grams. They know there's a direct correlation to atrial fibrillation. Cardiomyopathy, consumption of greater than 80 grams per day leads to a substantially increased risk of cardiomyopathy. Heart failure, that's J-shaped. The more alcohol you drink, the exponential risk increase of developing any heart failure. Heart failure is when your heart stops, by the way, and you die, just so you know. Stroke, there are two major stroke subtypes with differing etiologies or development, ischemic stroke and hemorrhagic processes. Due to higher prevalence, ischemic stroke typically drives investigations of total stroke. With similarities in etiology or the development of these strokes, one would expect ischemic stroke to show a similar relationship with alcohol consumption in comparison to ischemic hemorrhagic disease. Indeed, several earlier, more recent studies have shown that the association between average alcohol consumption and ischemic stroke follows a J curve. Woof. It goes straight up. It's not like a smooth curve. No, it is straight up. The more alcohol you consume, the faster you're headed towards stroke level. In a meta-analysis, overall review of multiple research studies of 27 different studies with 3,800 ischemic stroke cases compared to abstainers of alcohol, the risk for ischemic stroke was below 1 for up to 24 grams per day on average of alcohol. An increased for alcohol consumption greater than 24 grams per day led to an increased risk of ischemic stroke. Analysis of the emerging risk factors collaboration in the UK Biobank cohort showed an increased risk for both fatal and non-fatal total stroke based on average alcohol consumption. Fatal and non-fatal. If you don't want to die of a stroke and you love your wife and your kids or whatever you do in life or your pets and you don't want to die early, you might want to avoid alcohol. The risk for intracerebral, inside your brain, intracerebral, and subarachnoid hemorrhagic stroke, bleeding out strokes, increased with every drink. Let me repeat. The risk for bleeding strokes in your brain increased with every drink. And the consumption of greater than 48 grams per day resulted in intracerebral stroke, an increase, and subarachnoid hemorrhagic strokes. Several studies have reported an elevated risk for both ischemic stroke and hemorrhagic stroke from heavy episodic drinking. Alcohol consumption is also a trigger for stroke events. So if you don't like strokes, avoid alcohol. Several research studies were put together, and of seven, there were studies done with 12,000 cases of atrial fibrillation, and they compared those to non-drinkers. The risk for atrial fibrillation was elevated in all drinking groups, even when heavy episodic drinkers were excluded from the analysis. The pooled linear risk increase was 1.08 for each 12 grams per day increase in average alcohol consumption. Ask your doctor if AFib's right for you. Ask your bartender if AFib's right for you. Heart disease, heart failure. Let's go to heart failure. This is when your heart stops and you die. And if they get there fast enough, they can put paddles on you and start it back up again. Jump start you like a car. All right. Cardiovascular disease categories, such as ischemic heart disease, hypertension, and cardiomyopathy, increase the risk of heart failure. Recent review of multiple studies done in 2018 consisted of 355,000 total participants with 13,000 cases of heart failure based on 13 different studies. It was shown that the dose-response relationship between alcohol consumption and heart failure was curvilinear. As that number of drinks went up and alcohol consumption went up, so did the amount of heart failure. Ask your bartender if heart failure is right for you. But man, their commercials sure are cute during the Super Bowl, aren't they? With all these ponies and puppies and these frogs that chirp an alcohol drink's name. Remember them? It's so cute. And everybody looks so happy at the bar in all the shows I watch. Everybody's drinking alcohol and whiskey, particularly whiskey. There's something about whiskey that they're pushing for sure. All right. Joint association of alcohol consumption and being fat. Adiposity with alcohol and obesity related cancer in a population of 400,000 people in the UK. Across all markers of adiposity, building up of fat in the body. Above guideline drinkers who were in the top two adipose groups had a higher cancer risk. The literature on the joint association of alcohol consumption and adiposity, being fat with cancer, is limited to isolated cancer sites such as liver cancer, breast cancer, and colorectal cancer. When you're overweight and you drink alcohol, the cancers most often that you are diagnosed with are those three: breast cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer. Alcohol and obesity synergistically increase the risk of liver cancer, called hepatocellular carcinoma. Ecological evidence linked obesity and alcohol consumption with breast cancer. This study that we're looking at right now showed a higher risk of cancer only among above guideline drinkers with excess fat or a high elevated BMI, body mass index. Our analysis examining how fat modified the effects of alcohol consumption on cancer risk offers more nuanced information. Oh yeah, like what? Here's their conclusion. We found some evidence that excess fat may exacerbate the harmful effect of alcohol on cancer risk. You've heard Dr. Ed Group, Healing for the Ages, talk about we need to get our BMIs down. Body mass index. Most of us are 15 to 30 pounds overweight. You need to get that down. Our study adds important evidence to understanding the joint role of fat markers and alcohol consumption in potentially leading to higher cancer incidence. Now we're going to get into mental health issues, alcohol and depression. To examine the literature on the associations between alcohol use disorder, AUD, alcohol use disorder. I highlighted this because I need you to remember these acronyms. AUD means alcohol use disorders, and major depression, which is abbreviated MD. That's not Maryland. MD means major depressive or depression disorder. The analysis revealed the presence of either disorder doubled the risk of the second disorder, suggesting that the most plausible causal association between alcohol use disorder and major depression is one in which alcohol use disorder increases the risk of major depression rather than vice versa. They do not see that people who are depressed start drinking more alcohol. No, it's alcohol consumption. The more they drink, the more often they are diagnosed with major depression. Potential mechanisms underlying these causal linkages include neurophysiological and metabolic changes resulting from exposure to alcohol, changes in hormones, changes to your immune system, changes to your brain. The conclusions are, the literature suggests, the scientific medical literature suggests, there is a direct link between alcohol use disorders and major depression, such that increasing involvement with alcohol increases the risk of depression. Ask your psychiatrist and psychologist if alcohol is right for your depression when they try to just throw Prozac, Zoloft at you. The association between alcohol dependence and depression before and after treatment of alcohol dependence, if the last one didn't drive it home for you. Hey, most people are going to think that you're depressed, so you go reach for alcohol. No, the more alcohol you consume, the more depressed you're going to become. And then you're going to become a pharmaceutical slave to antipsychotic drugs, barbiturates, and SSRIs, like Prozac, Zoloft, Xanax, you name it. A total of 188 participants underwent community-based detox, but only 156 were followed up for the next 6 months. The majority, 92%, were male, 8% were female. Majority, 60% of the participants, had begun drinking alcohol before the ages of 18 years old. The majority of them, 84% of the participants, aged less than 40 years old. The prevalence of depression at intake before detoxing them at the rehab was 63%. So before they went in to be detoxed, 63% had major depression issues. 6 months after detoxing them and completing rehab, the prevalence of depression was only 30%. That's less than half. There was a statistically significant reduction in the prevalence of depression at 6 months, during which period the participants had undergone community-based detox and rehab for alcohol dependence. There was a statistically significant association between depression and the level of alcohol dependence when they started the process. So the amount of alcohol and the amount of depression were equal. Participants with audit scores of 19 and above were more likely to be depressed. Analysis of data collected at the end of the 6 months showed a statistically significant association between depression and alcohol use. In addition, those who were depressed at 6 months had more severe craving for alcohol than those who were not depressed. So you see this negative feedback loop, right? You're drinking alcohol, you get more depressed. The more depressed you get, the more alcohol you want. All right, so now you see how it affects depression, which for like 20 years, antidepressants were the number one, two, three, and four drugs sold and prescribed in America in the 90s and early 2000s. All right, now let's read this article, Impact of Alcohol Consumption on Snoring and Sleep Apnea. Man, how many of you are on CPAP machines, have loved ones on CPAP machines and been diagnosed with sleep apnea and had to do sleep studies? Oh my goodness. This topic is going to wrap up this presentation. All right, here we go. In conclusion for this research study, alcohol consumption is associated with worsening severity of snoring, altered sleep structure, AHI, which I will show you what the definition of that is here in just a minute, as well as lowest oxygen saturation among patients susceptible to snoring and obstructive sleep apnea. God, I hope if you're on a CPAP or you have a loved one that snores and you all think that little thing you put on your nose is going to stop your snoring, and that's what's causing your snoring, is a deviated septum. How many billions of dollars are made every year? You have a deviated septum. How many of you are drinking alcohol and snoring? Stop drinking alcohol. This is AHI. I want to highlight this for you, what that means. AHI stands for, this is the Cleveland Clinic, Apnea Hypopnea Index. So let's read what that is. It's a scale to help providers diagnose and rank the severity of obstructive sleep apnea. So those of you with sleep apnea, you might know what that is. I didn't. I had to go look it up because I don't have sleep apnea. All right. Maybe I should drink some alcohol so I can get some sleep apnea, so I can join the club. All you out there with CPAP machines, can't breathe, can't snore. Alcohol, this is a research study, as an independent risk factor for obstructive sleep apnea. A total of 793 patients. Look above this statement. You'll see obstructive sleep apnea. That's what OSA stands for. You're about to see it. A total of 793 patients were enrolled in this study, compared with those who did not consume alcohol. Those consuming alcohol had a higher risk of OSA. What is OSA? Obstructive sleep apnea. Regarding the risk of obstructive sleep apnea, after adjusting for former drinkers and current ones, the ORs were 1.96. For all you statisticians out there, alcohol consumption was associated with AHI in family. Oh, sorry. Alcohol consumption was associated with AHI in female significantly. What is AHI? I'll remind you. Apnea hypopnea index, how they measure the severity of your obstructive sleep apnea. Conclusions. We found that alcohol consumption was an independent risk factor all by itself. It is a risk factor for obstructive sleep apnea and OSA with hypoxia. And alcohol consumption was related to increased AHI significantly after adjustment, especially in females. Ask your sleep disorder specialist if alcohol is right for you. Ask your CPAP salesman and cleaning agent provider. I see those advertisements. You should clean your CPAP machine with our device. Oh, my goodness. Imagine how much money you could save, how much less baggage you got to take when you travel if you don't need that CPAP machine. All right. The association between alcohol consumption and sleep disorders among older people in the general population. In this large, not small, population-based study of older adults, we found that for men, drinking more than 21 units per week compared with not drinking was associated with disturbed sleep. Those who maintained this heavy volume of drinking over the three decades of observation, who drank in potentially hazardous pattern, tended to have worse sleep profiles in terms of waking, tired, and waking several times. In a recent cross evaluation of population study of 187,000 adults in the United States, short sleep prevalence was higher among adults who consumed any alcohol compared with those who never consume alcohol. Sleep short patterns. You find yourself waking up early in the evening at 1 a.m., 3 a.m., and you're like, why can't I go back to bed? Well, I'm only sleeping like 2 or 3 hours. If you consumed alcohol, read the sentence here. In a recent cross-sectional population study of 187,000 adults in the U.S., short sleep prevalence was higher among adults who consumed how much alcohol? Any alcohol. Among 1,920 community-dwelling men and women, those with persistent alcohol dependence had higher odds of insomnia than those without alcohol dependence over a 15-year follow-up. We did find such an association between hazardous drinking and disturbed sleep in our data. So those who drink a whole lot for very long periods of time, they call it hazardous drinking. Our finding that those who have trouble falling asleep were more likely to be persistent heavy drinking persons suggests that they may be using alcohol as a sedative. Drinking high volumes of alcohol or drinking hazardously may contribute to the prevalence of sleep problems in older age. Those with disrupted sleep should consider reducing alcohol consumption, and people in this age group, particularly men, should be discouraged from using alcohol as a sleep aid. It is well recognized that sleep problems have a significant impact on the quality of life, with increased diseases and death seen in population studies. Identifying people at risk of sleep disturbances as a result of their drinking may have important public health benefits. And this goes for all the medical professionals out there, too. If you're seeing individuals who are coming and complaining that they're waking up during the middle of the night, they fall asleep quickly, wake up multiple times in the night, or you believe that they tell you they have snoring issues, sleep apnea, maybe problems, and you're going to be prescribing a CPAP machine with Lunesta, some sleep aid, you might want to ask them about their alcohol consumption. Now, it's time to wrap this all up for all of you. Now, on the screen, what you're seeing is what's called an ORI chart. This is an acupuncture chart. It may look different than what I've shown before, but I've done this. I've shown this chart. There's various versions of these, but they all have the same information on them. Just some people make them look different. This actually represents what's been known for 5,000 years to acupuncture and Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. And that is that the body can be divided into 12 different quadrants and organs. They're also called meridians, acupuncture channels of energy that feed various organs directly in the human body. And they have actually built this chart. It's called the Ori chart, H-O-R-A-R-Y. Now, I just highlighted for you at the very end of this presentation the known published effects of alcohol consumption, any amount of alcohol, and how it affects your sleep. It is so important that we get 7 to 9 hours of sleep for most people on the planet to reduce their risk for all diseases. All diseases. And for longevity. Sleep is that important. But man, most people on the planet are dealing with sleep disruption. All right. So on this chart, you're going to see it actually works as a clock. You're going to see at the top, you'll see 12, noon, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., all the way around the outside. Every meridian or organ named here, some of the meridians have organ names, like at the top at noon, you'll see heart right underneath the noon. That's the heart meridian and the heart organ physically. The next period, you'll see small intestine, which is an organ and a meridian. Then you see bladder, kidney, pericardium, which is the sac around your heart. Then you see triple warmer. That's not necessarily an organ. That's just an area of your abdomen divided into three sections for the acupuncturists. Then you get to gallbladder and liver. I need to highlight something for all of you. I want you to notice when the liver and the gallbladder detox or function the most every 24-hour cycle. Look at the hours of the day where the gallbladder kicks up and detoxing all the bile, cleansing the liver. And then when the liver takes over and starts dumping all of its toxins every single day, it actually is the highest between the hours of 1 and 3 a.m. is when the liver is detoxing. And I cannot tell you how many of you I hear from you for the last 25 years, most of my patients and now all of you audience members. People will reach out to me and go, Dr. Harris, I wake up between 3 and 4 a.m. every night. It's almost always in the 3 o'clock hour. Almost always people are waking up in the 3 o'clock hour to 4 o'clock hour and can't go back to sleep. This is when your liver dumps all of its toxins that it started processing between the hours you see on the screen, 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. This is the correlation to the sleep disturbance and alcohol. Alcohol affects the liver. The liver controls your sleep patterns. It also detoxes you. So now I'm going to show you some information about this. So remember, keeping the liver healthy helps you sleep through the night. Why? The more toxic the liver, the more crap it's got to dump out of it between the hours of 1 and 3 a.m. And you're going to wake up or not be able to sleep through that whole period because your liver is so jacked up at detoxing so much stuff. It's disruptive to you and your sleep patterns. Now, I put in this red box the liver and gallbladder because I wanted to show you on the screen that the gallbladder, with all of its veins and ducts going into the liver, the gallbladder is a part of the liver organ. You cannot separate the two. Even though you'll hear people say they cut out my gallbladder. No, they didn't. They just cut out that big green part you see on the screen, the bulb of the gallbladder. They just cut that and stitch the end of the tube that became that big balloon. They just cut that and then stitch it shut. They couldn't take out all those green arteries and bile ducts that go into your liver. The liver is still pumping bile into all those ducts. The liver and the gallbladder are like one organ. So the health of the gallbladder, health of the liver, they're the same. And as the liver and gallbladder are detoxing between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. for those 4 hours, alcohol has a wrecking effect upon the liver. And I just want to highlight this for you. This is the ultimate guide to the liver meridian. And I'm just going to highlight a few sentences for you. In traditional Chinese medicine, each meridian is associated with a specific time of day. And the liver meridian is most active between 1 and 3 a.m. Interestingly, this is also the time when the liver performs its detoxing function in the body. These are on the screen in this same article. What are the emotions and the physical reactions when the liver and the liver meridian are stressed by alcohol, by whatever, an infection? The liver, when it is disrupted or there is a disbalance or imbalance of the acupuncture meridian and energy that feeds into the liver, or the liver itself is diseased, the liver creates anger. In fact, read that sentence up there. The liver meridian is said to be the home of anger, which is why you see all these movies where there's bar fights and bar scenes. As they drink alcohol, they get angry. You want to stress the liver, put alcohol in it, you'll become angry. Most people will. The liver meridian also handles, if it becomes stressed, depression, whether you are depressed or not depressed. It creates anxiety if you stress the liver or not. Indecisiveness, but I want to focus on restlessness. Let's read this together. Restlessness is another common emotional symptom of an imbalanced liver meridian. When the meridian is overactive, it can lead to difficulty sleeping, irritability, and fidgetness. Now, I have to tell you, anybody that came into my office as a patient, thousands of people from around the world, if they complained of not being able to sleep through the night, I'd always ask them, what time do you look at the clock and what do you see most often? Everyone gave me between 1 and 4 a.m., which is that liver period, 1 to 3 a.m. And then the liver starts dumping everything between 3 and 4 a.m. So if it was between 1 and 4 and you're waking up every night, all I did was give patients liver-supportive products at dinner and bedtime every night before they went to bed. And within 2 weeks, their snoring would improve, their use of CPAPs would go down, and the requirement for them would go away as you detox the liver. Here's a summary of the 5 ways I just showed you that alcohol is known to science and medicine to destroy your health. Number 1, alcohol consumption increases your risk of all cancers. Number 2, alcohol consumption makes us nutrient deficient by blocking the ability of intestines to absorb essential minerals and vitamins. Number 3, alcohol consumption increases the risk of all cardiovascular diseases. Number 4, alcohol consumption causes major depression and anxiety, as I just showed you with the liver meridian. Number 5, alcohol consumption causes or worsens sleep disorders. Remember, you can scan this QR code if you'd like to share this with anyone you know or love, or trying to figure out if you know or you yourself drink alcohol in any capacity and we're wondering if this has any impact on your health and maybe why you're suffering with any of the issues I just showed you. Yes, these are the top 5 ways I've chosen to share with you are the ways I know alcohol destroys the health, your health. My goal is to try to keep you as alive and as well as possible without having to be in the hospital as often as possible, reduce your need for drugs as much as possible, and live the way God designed you to be free of symptoms and free of drugs. Free to explore the world as he designed it for you. All right, this is my book. Make sure you go get my book. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at thedrartistshow.com. It's in Audible form now at Amazon and on Audible. There's also a Spanish version and soon to be a French version. By the time you see this, there probably is a French version. All right, everybody. I am Dr. Brian Artist. This is the 5 ways in which alcohol absolutely destroys your health. I hope what you're learning here are things that maybe you haven't been told. I mean, we're talking about mental health illness and alcohol. Are all psychiatrists and counselors educating the people they're counseling with issues of depression, major depression, anxiety disorders, and panic disorders? Are they talking to you about alcohol at all? Are they asking you about any amounts of alcohol? What about your oncologist with cancer risks? What about your mammography center doing your mammograms? Do they tell you to avoid alcohol to reduce your risk for breast cancer? Do they do that? Does your oncologist tell you to do that? Or do they blame all the breast cancer on genetics? All right, everybody. I'm Dr. Artis. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed putting it together. And I'd like to thank my son, Braden, for helping me put together the highlighted parts of these research studies as we shared them with him. My goal is to help you experience life to the fullest, free of symptoms, free of disease, and the risk for heart disease, cancer, sleep disorders that lead to a worsening impact of all these conditions I just named and that we showed you. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Artis Show, and share this far and wide with those that you care about and love the most. I'm Dr. Artis. We'll see you next time.